This is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Saturday morning, not Sunday today, which means for one weekend only, it's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese here with you this Christmas Eve. Santa touches down in T-minus 16 hours here in Toronto, 18 hours in Calgary, 19 out in Van City as of 8 a.m. Eastern at least, with the bulk of the NFL games on a Saturday this year. We are also here on a Saturday for your listening pleasure to help you through Week 16. The fantasy semis are here, so we're here for injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, and of course your questions on the People's text line. 590-590 is where you can reach us. We'll get to your fantasy questions at the top of the next hour. But Matt, I hope you survive the, as they call it, the bomb cyclone here in Ontario. What are your Christmas plans for you later today? My plans mostly involve me going by my mom's house later this afternoon. I'm going to get her, help her get set up for dinner with the rest of my extended family. But that's about it. A short trip from downtown Toronto to Scarborough for me. What do the plans look like for the Marchese household?
So we've got a short trip as well over to my in-laws. They're about, I don't know, 12 minutes away. And they actually have both sides of the family are expected to be joining us. So my father-in-law's side, my mother-in-law's side. It is, and I know they're not listening, but it is literal chaos. It's like we've got like a zoo there because, you know, there's five dogs and there's a cat and there's geckos and then there's chickens outside. And then the zoo with the family. It's very loud, as you can imagine, at an Italian Christmas Eve festivity. So that's the plan anyway. I don't know if the weather's going to have any impact on that because I don't know about you, Sho, but where I am, the wind, I thought my roof was going to come off last night. It was absolutely wild. I think my wife's been up since like 2 a.m. or something, she said.
I was driving down the kind of the DVP here when I was going to and from my parents' place yesterday as they're kind of getting set up for today. And it was so windy that at some points when the wind would blow the snow onto the DVP, you couldn't see more than like a car's length in front of you. And it actually like wasn't snowing that hard. It was like kind of cold, but it was just the winds were just whipping that stuff everywhere. Like, my goodness. I'll say this. I moved out a long time ago, but because I was at my parents' house yesterday, I was helping to shovel the snow. And my dad was like, why don't you use this snowblower? We got the snowblower for the first time ever. And first of all, my thought was, of course, you guys buy the snowblower once I move out.
When I'm gone, yeah.
I'm using it. I'm like, oh, this is great. And of course, I've never used a snowblower before. And the thing shoots snow to the side, and of course, it's so windy outside yesterday.
It just blew right back on the driveway.
Right back onto the driveway and right back into my face, and I have a pretty long beard, and like, man, my beard completely frozen. So lesson learned, Marchese.
Yeah, I've definitely been there. You're right. The snow wasn't really the issue yesterday. It was the blowing snow because of the winds, and like, I didn't make it in yesterday to do TV for Merrick's show. I ended up just doing it from my basement. I had a power surge while I was here. Elliot Friedman had to host the show for like three minutes while I got back on the air. It was a day. But thankfully, hopefully everybody stays safe today. I know that around this time, especially the way the last 2 years have gone, that it's super important that people get together. Just drive safe. That's all I can say to everybody. I know people are going to try and get to their destinations, and I'm fine with it. Just drive safe while you're out there.
Yeah, if you have to leave the house, please be safe. Have a happy holiday, certainly, while you're at it, to you and all of your family. From everyone here at Sportsnet, 590 The Fan, 960 The Fan, 650, everyone across the radio network, we wish you a happy holidays. Marchese, all I know is that if and when we roast chestnuts tonight, if they are roasted over a closed fire, so help me God, strong words will be uttered in the Alley household. That's all I got to say. Only open fires. So,
yes, only open. How dare you in a closed fire? The Italians do it in the oven. So
there you go.
We're on a different level.
Oh, good heavens. Okay, well, week 16 is here as well as Christmas. So again, as we hope you have a safe and happy holidays, we also are here to help you to a fantasy semifinals win. Of course, the new year will bring the fantasy championship matchup on January 1st. It's a Sunday, so We are here for Week 16 injury news and notes and start sits, of course. And don't forget to text us at 590-590. Name and location. We'll take all of your fantasy start sit questions this playoff matchup in about an hour's time. But, Matt, I wanted to start with the Thursday nighter. And it was, boy, that was a forgettable game.
We have
game.
To.
Good God. Unfortunately, we do. When I think of Zach Wilson, this is what I think of.
The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk.
Very well done. Very, very theme-oriented. I like it.
Zach Wilson went 9 of 18 for 92 yards and an interception, Mr. Marchese.
Well, I mean, when Chris Streveler has to come in and try and save your season, I mean, that's an issue.
Here, Blue Bombers legend, Chris Streveler.
Yes. Also, former Arizona Cardinal. You know, here's what I don't understand. And this is where I feel like teams overcoach. And in this case, Robert Saleh is the guy. Can I ask why Joe Flacco was not involved in that game? Like, you know that Zach Wilson has not been good. Joe Flacco actually did a really decent job in his time that, like, basically, every quarterback that has gone in there that was not named Zach Wilson has been successful. So maybe it's Zach Wilson. And the fact that Joe Flacco, in a game that you didn't have Mike White available, was not even dressed after Joe Flacco was like third in the league in passing yards or second in the league in passing yards in the first five games. He was actually using the weapons that you have, and you don't even have him dressed. Like, I know this is not like from a fantasy perspective, he probably would have been better than Zach Wilson. But that's just bad management. And Zach Wilson, just basically, if you started Garrett Wilson, you're already behind the eight ball because Zach Wilson started.
Yeah, four catches for 30 scoreless yards by Garrett Wilson. The top receiver on the night was Michael Carter, who had five catches for 44 yards. Tyler Conklin had four catches for 34 yards. And then after Garrett Wilson's four catches for 30 yards, everyone else was largely forgettable. Elijah Moore, two catches for 15 yards. On the rushing side of things, pretty much it was a no-show from everyone. Ty Johnson, two carries for 7 yards. Michael Carter had 6 yards. Zach Wilson had a yard. Zonovan Knight had six carries for minus 2 yards. And Chris Streveler ended up being the one who moved the ball the most efficiently. He had nine carries for 54 yards, but there's not a single person on earth who started Chris Streveler. So no. it's not as though you necessarily got any points out of that. So pretty much the entire Jets offense was a lump of coal this year. But the Jags offense, honestly, even if the other receivers outside of Evan Engram, who was once again, to my dismay to a certain degree,
yes.
Absolutely fantastic. Seven catches for 113 yards. But everyone else in that offense basically suffered, right? Like Travis Etienne, three catches, 29 yards, which is something actually I think relatively positive considering we all kind of lamented that he gets a lot of carries and no work in the passing game. So that's always good. Christian Kirk, three catches for 22 yards. Marvin Jones, three catches for 15 yards. Zay Jones, one catch for 14 yards after a trio of touchdowns last week. And on the ground, Travis Etienne, 22 carries for 83 yards. The kind of nice thing about this is that Trevor Lawrence, he didn't turn the ball over. He had 229 yards passing on 31 attempts. He had 20 completions, but he also had seven carries for 51 yards and a touchdown. So if you started Trevor Lawrence in the playoffs, you probably are feeling pretty good about that performance because he got the TD. He still got an additional 5 points or so on the ground with his legs, and he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and in most cases, there was 11 points right there without the passing yards, right? Just like if you started Garrett Wilson, if you started Zay Jones, you are probably behind the eight ball. But I'm not saying this to because I'm trying to be funny or whatever, but Evan Engram has been really, really good this season. Like, especially of late, he's really found a connection with Trevor Lawrence. And it's not, I'm not saying he's like Zach Ertz when Zach Ertz was in Philly with Doug Peterson, but the proof was in the pudding this year. When Doug Peterson goes to a place, and as we saw it in Philadelphia, the tight ends are successful. that, not that the offense runs completely through tight ends, but they use them a lot. And Evan Engram seems to have found a nice little home here. And I know that Evan Engram has had his issues with drops in his career. His rookie year, he was really good. And then he kind of tailed off. But then when we look at the big picture here, Evan Engram had Eli Manning throwing him the ball. Okay, fine. It's okay. And then he had Daniel Jones throwing him the ball early in his career. Not good. But what we've seen is he's got a really good quarterback, and sometimes your drops are because your own fault, but sometimes statistically, you get a drop, and sometimes it's not a great pass, but because you kind of got your hands on it, whatever. I just think that he's having a really good season with Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence is a really good quarterback, and Evan Engram is super athletic, and Doug Peterson's using him properly. He's going to end up finishing as probably a top three tight end this year. Yeah. And I had him as a sleeper, as a guy who could fit into, you know, like around eight, maybe because of where he was drafted. But I don't think nobody envisioned this. This is next level. And I mean, the way Mark Andrews is going right now, I don't know what the point differential is, but Mark Andrews has been largely invisible over the past 6 weeks. There's a very good chance that Evan Engram could finish tight end two behind Travis Kelce. And that would be one of the biggest surprises that I think I've seen in a very long time.
I know we kind of like are quick to throw around the term. And I say we, like everyone essentially is quick to throw around the term league winner. But I actually do genuinely think that it might apply to a case like this, if only because if they keep on using designed plays for Evan Engram like they have been, well, certainly on Thursday, but just generally speaking over the course of his kind of breakout in the last month or so, I do think it would apply, especially because he's a tight end, right? Because tight ends, like if your average tight end, if you're not starting Travis Kelce, your average tight end's probably getting you like, what, 5 points, 6 points, if that. And you're probably, if your tight end who's not Travis Kelce gets you 5-6 points, you're probably like, oh yeah, slam dunk. I did it this week. I guessed correctly. And if that's the case, then if someone like Evan Engram can basically shore up the other parts of your roster with like a 10-plus point performance, and lately he's been giving you way better than 10, right? I mean, 113 yards. And 7 catches is almost 20 points in a PPR league, right? So I think you're going to feel pretty good about that, regardless, you know, if you have Travis Kelce or not. But I just it's definitely something that is worth watching. I think going into next year, right, Matt? Because I have a feeling that Doug Peterson has just made Evan Engram a whole boatload of money. He's going to be a free agent in the offseason. And on the other side of things, the Jaguars have already paid Christian Kirk an absolutely massive deal going into this season. They now have Calvin Ridley, who is going to be on the books next season as well. So I kind of wonder what kind of deal Evan Engram will take. Like, I almost kind of wonder if he hasn't played himself out of town on this fantastic free agent signing.
Well, it's going to – everything comes down to money, right? Like, we've seen – like, look, Kenny Golladay took a boatload of money to go to the Giants when he was probably better off somewhere else, and look what's happened to his career.
Right.
I do wonder about Evan Engram in that conversation. I don't know what I don't think the Jaguars are super pressed up against the cap, although they're going to have to pay Trevor Lawrence in a couple of years, so they're going to have to kind of work that out. But – if I'm Evan Engram and I look at the season that I've had with Doug Peterson, am I not looking at, okay, if I need to take maybe a couple of million per season, if it's on let's say it's a 3-year deal, I need to take a couple million dollars off. So 6 million, and I was going to make, you know, instead of 36 million, I'm going to make 30 million over the course of the next 3 years, whatever that number is. Maybe that's a conversation that he needs to have, because, you know, do you take the money or do you say, I'm going to have a really successful career the rest of the way here? I mean, he's still got a lot of legs left, but over the course of the next 3 seasons, would you rather be with Doug Peterson or maybe a situation like, I don't know, going to like the LA Rams or something like that, where you don't know what's going on at quarterback? Like, there's a lot that goes into that. If I'm Evan Engram, I may take a couple million less to play with Doug Peterson and live in Florida. I mean, I'd much rather look at what we're dealing with the last couple days. I would take Florida over this. Don't move to Chicago or something, Evan Engram. Although playing with Justin Fields would be nice. But yeah, I, I, You're right. I think there is a chance he has priced himself out of Jacksonville, but in his own mind, he's got to look at the situation and go, do I really want to go anywhere else seeing how good it's been with Doug Peterson? I wouldn't if I was Evan Engram.
Yeah, you're probably right, right? I mean, like you said, if you're not going to play with a talented young QB, right? Like, if it wasn't Trevor Lawrence, maybe it was Justin Fields, maybe it was Josh Allen, right? Maybe it was someone else. I don't know. Maybe one of the other talented young guy. Maybe it's Joe Burrow you're going to go play with in Cincinnati, right? They don't really have a very super reliable tight end, so maybe that's the case there. But either way, you're likely right in that I can't see him going to go play with, like, Tom Brady if he goes to sign with, like, I don't know, like the Bucks for one more year, go be George Kittle's backup somewhere. It's definitely going to be a starting role and a starring role, but I am curious whether or not that place is Jacksonville. Let's take a very quick break, Matt, and when we come back, we will get off to the start sits here. We'll start with Falcons at Ravens. I can't imagine either of us are starting too many Atlanta Falcons, but hey, maybe their crazier things have happened during the fantasy playoffs, so maybe Tyler Allgeier is worth a start. The guy's approaching 1,000 yards from scrimmage, but start sits next on the Fantasy Show. And don't forget to send in your text at 590-590 to the People's text line. We will answer all of your start sit questions for the Fantasy Semifinals at the top of the next hour. But again, you're listening to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Christmas Eve is here. For those who celebrate, happy holidays, certainly. Stay safe out there. Week 16 is also here across the NFL Fantasy Semifinals. We're here to break down all the injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, and, of course, your questions on the People's text line at 590-590, name and location, please, where you can reach us as usual. Please, again, always leave your name and location because we love giving you shout-outs on the air, but we'll get to all of those text line questions at the top of the next hour again to help you, hopefully, to a fantasy championship berth next weekend in the new year. But, Matt, let's start with our first start sit of the weekend, and Falcons-Ravens is where we will start. I don't know if you saw this, but I saw this last night. Apparently, Tyler Huntley was voted as the fourth AFC Pro Bowl alternate. All right. He was voted by, I guess, by the players. The guy has, I mean, I like Tyler Huntley. I actually think there's a chance he is better than most backup quarterbacks, but the guy has 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this year. Like, and he is probably going to be going to the Pro Bowl at some point.
Well, Tyler Huntley also cost me, to get into the semifinal in my one league. So Tyler Huntley should not be an alternate for anything but the bench at this point. I don't get it. Honestly, I actually think that NFL players do not watch other NFL games.
They probably don't.
I'm pretty convinced of that.
Honestly.
Yeah. They probably thought he was still starting from last year. Like, they haven't seen Lamar Jackson play at all this year. I mean, Lamar hasn't been great since, like, week 3, but, I mean, Tyler Huntley has barely played. And when he has, in the words of Boris Karloff, stunk.
Yeah, he has been not great. It doesn't look like Lamar's play. I think he actually has already been ruled out now that I think
he's been ruled out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Tyler Huntley no show today.
I got to imagine if Huntley is the QB and we know that he runs the ball himself, but I mean, it's still been, you know, about 30 rushing yards a game, which is not ideal. J.K. Dobbins is going to be that guy. And J.K. Dobbins, I mean, like, the Ravens basically wasted 0 time in giving him a pretty heavy workload in his first 2 games back, right? He played, let's see, over the last 2 weeks, he played 43% and 38% of the offensive snaps over those 2 weeks. He handled 15 touches and 14 touches and finished as the RB5 and RB17, respectively. And then now he gets the Atlanta Falcons defense, which is below average, let's call it, in shutting down running back. So I got to imagine with the Ravens really trying hard to make the playoffs, it's going to be the J.K. Dobbins show today, Matt.
Yeah, and weather is going to be a factor. Like, let's preface this. This is almost every game that weather is going to affect these games. And it looks like they could have wind gusts of up to 30 miles per hour. And Tyler Huntley does not have a lot of zip on his ball. So, like, I'm not starting Mark Andrews this week. I know that seems counterintuitive, but he hasn't been good enough. And with the weather, I don't love it. Like, I'll start J.K. Dobbins, and I would, as a, if you are desperate in the semifinals, if you have had injuries or and somehow you've gotten there, I do wonder if Gus Edwards is a bit of a punt play because of the weather today. Like, he was efficient on his 7 carries last week. I think he had 57 yards or something. But I do wonder if he gets double-digit carries because of the weather, and they're just going to try and grind this thing out on the ground, because I don't see a situation where Tyler Huntley is throwing for anywhere even near 200 yards this week. So I would start J.K. Dobbins, and I would, again, if I'm very desperate, I would consider Gus Edwards among a scrap heap of players that you could start in a flex spot, again, if you've had injuries.
It's really interesting because last week, Justice Hill out-snapped on the field Edwards almost 2-1, and yet in the end, in terms of actually touching the ball, Gus Edwards touched the ball 7 times to Hill's 2 times. So it's really interesting how they kind of have some guys in the field but not touching the ball. Kenyon Drake was a healthy scratch, so I think we can safely avoid him going forward. But yeah, I think you're probably right. Like, there's no one else really in this offense. I guess Mark Andrews. It's just one of those players where you kind of feel like you're obligated to start him, but you're not hoping for too much based on, like you said, the weather and the fact that Tyler Huntley is out there. On the Falcons side of things, again, like I said before the break, it's not exactly like a murderer's row of people you're going to be starting in this game. Like, I guess Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier are the two you can start and feel, like, okay about. But at the same time, they're no better than flex plays at this point, because you just are not sure how they're going to use the ball, how they're going to divvy up the carries, I should say, with Desmond Ridder starting.
Yeah, and Ridder wasn't great last week, but I mean, he did make Drake London at least slightly relevant in PPR with and even half PPR. London had 7 catches for 70 yards, but again, the weather here in this one, I'm just going to lean running backs, because I think the ball ends up staying on the ground. Allgeier was really good last week, 17 carries, 139 yards against the Saints, and he had a touchdown. I'm anticipating he's going to get 15 carries at least this week. And I think that Cordarrelle Patterson is probably in the 10 range. So I would start both of them, yes, as flex plays, because productivity has not always been the Atlanta Falcons' strong suit this year. Yeah. And productivity across the board, whether it be on defense or on offense, and specifically whether it's running the ball or throwing the ball. So I would have both of those guys as flex plays. And I think both of them are very good bets to get into the end zone as well.
And the only reason I have them as flex plays instead of maybe an RB3 matchup is because of the Ravens' rush defense, right? The Ravens' rush defense, one of the 3 toughest defenses versus opposing running backs. So that's the only reason I got them as flex plays. But still, like you said, Allgeier, a rookie, racked up 142 total yards and a touchdown in week 15. And Patterson also found the end zone, and he only had 52 yards. So I'm just, again, against a tough Ravens defense, I'm just going to say, especially now that they have Roquan Smith, right? He's been great since coming over to Baltimore via trade. So I'm downgrading them to flex plays. So hopefully, you know, I wonder how many Allgeier Patterson questions we'll get on the text line. Lions Panthers is our next one here. And let's see, if we start with the Lions, I guess DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, as usual, are the guys you're going to feel. It made me feel comfortable is the wrong way to put it. It's those are the guys that the toughest decisions lie around, because when you look at, let's say, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're starting that guy every week, right? Like, there's pretty much no, even if you know he has a tough matchup, you're still going to start Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you're going to probably at this point in the year expect like middling WR1 numbers from him, given the way the Lions have played so far this year. So obviously you're firing him up. I think there's a question about DJ Chark, because the team does rely, maybe even over-rely on St. Brown in the passing game. But Chark and Reynolds are kind of iffy plays for me. I still got them maybe Chark as a flex play at best, and I'm kind of out on Josh Reynolds if possible. But as usual, the question mark for the Lions surrounds Swift and Jamal Williams. And can you trust both, either, or really can you risk playing either of them? I'm wondering where you fall on that, Matt.
I think you could play both of them. I have them as like back end RB2s, with Swift obviously with the upside in half PPR and PPR because of his ability to catch the ball, and Jamal Williams has the upside because He scores touchdowns, and the Carolina Panthers are not great defensively. And this does feel like a game that, again, cold temperatures in Carolina, colder than they're certainly used to dealing with in Carolina. Wind not really a factor, so I don't think it's an issue for the quarterbacks. I just think that they're going to run the ball a bit more than they probably would normally in a situation like this. The Lions are playing for a playoff spot here, Show, which I didn't think that we would be having this conversation. I know that you had the Lions over 6.5 wins this year, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was you had that in your preseason article that you did for Sportsnet.ca. And, you know, Jared Goff was better than I thought he was going to be against a pretty good Jets defense last week. I think he's got some high QB2 upside just because of the matchup. And I do like a little bit of a bounce back from DJ Chark. So I've got him as like a kind of a back end wide receiver 3.
Did you see that report that the Lions actually might consider Jared Goff as something more than just a bridge QB? Like, they might just, instead of drafting a QB with like either the Rams pick or their own pick, wherever those picks end up, and probably in the top 10, at least the Rams pick probably going to be in the top 10. Instead of drafting a QB, they'll probably avoid drafting a QB and keep Jared Goff as the guy, as like the guy going forward. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I did see that. And honestly, if I was the Detroit Lions, I'm still drafting a quarterback with that top pick. Just because here's how you have to look at it. If it becomes a situation where let's say they end up drafting CJ Stroud and CJ Stroud sits on the bench for a year and he learns whatever. And he ends up, they're saying, okay, we're comfortable starting CJ Stroud. And if Jared Goff is still playing at a high level, you can trade Jared Goff. Like, quarterbacks get traded, and we see what they get traded for. I mean, not that Jared Goff's going to have, you know, pre-trade Russell Wilson numbers, but look at the haul that they got for Russell Wilson. He's been a dog, right? So I if I'm the Lions, I'm still using that Rams pick on a quarterback, and then I'll fill out the rest of my roster however I see fit, you know, with their own first round pick, whatever. But I'm still drafting a quarterback. I don't think that they're talking out of two sides of their mouth here. I think that they do believe that Jared Goff is a good quarterback for them. And he's proven this year that he's been a good quarterback. It's interesting what happens when you give them weapons and a pretty decent offensive line. I think that they're going to solidify that offensive line. I still think they dropped a quarterback, but they're not in a rush to make that decision right now. And I think that's the smart thing to do. Keep Jared Goff happy for the time being.
I was just looking at the tankathon order. And yeah, I mean, the only three teams ahead of the Rams pick right now are Houston, Chicago, and Seattle. And I mean, Houston probably going to take a QB, right? But at the same time, Chicago, they got Justin Fields. They're not taking a QB. And it'll be interesting to see what Seattle does, mainly because do you really want to mortgage the future to Geno Smith? I mean, either way, the guy's going to be a rich man in the offseason, which he so very deserves. But I do wonder if they view him as a long-term solution. Maybe they do draft a QB at 3 if, like, let's say, like you said, Stroud or Young are sitting there, for example, right? So I think that's going to be a lot of fun later on this coming year. On the other side of this matchup today, however, we did the Lions, Carolina Panthers on the other side. Chuba Hubbard and Deonta Foreman are probably guys. Again, it's like almost like a committee right now between the two guys. You can probably start both of them. I got them both as maybe flex plays. The Lions rush defense has been better as of late, so I'm not sure you want to rely on either Hubbard or Foreman. DJ Moore has been a little better as of late as well. Again, I basically have all of the skill position guys on the Carolina offense today as flex plays.
I actually like DJ Moore a little bit more than flex play, only because I love DJ Moore. And last week he was good again. And the week before, remember, he had the ankle injury, so he left the game early. So it's basically the last two full games he's played, he's been, you know, in the high-end wide receiver 2 conversation. Here's my take on the Carolina running backs right now. So I'm actually going to bench both of them.
Really? Hey?
And the only reason why I'm benching both of them, I know the weather will play a factor, but that Lions run defense, remember how bad they were earlier in the year where they were like, they had given up like the fourth most points per game to running backs by like week 5 or 6, whatever it was. They are now allowing the 25th most points per game to opposing running backs. Like, they have absolutely shut down, outside of Devin Singletary, which is the weird wild card in all of this, on Thanksgiving. they have, I don't think that a rusher has eclipsed 55 yards on them. So I just don't love the spot here for those guys enough to trust them. Like Chuba Hubbard would be the only guy that I have a little bit of faith in PPR and half PPR because he does catch the ball. So he would be the only one that I would be considering starting. But I think the Lions run defense has been so good that at this point in the year, I do not want to take a chance with either of those guys in my lineup.
All right, so you got the two guys as sits, and you are a little higher on DJ Moore. I have them all as flex plays, the two running backs and DJ Moore, so the three skill position players as well. And yeah, I'm not really ready here to say that Sam Darnold is back, right? He's like, I guess if you're in a two QB league, this is not the most ideal week for streaming QBs, I might say as well, right? If you're like a Jalen, if you missed out on Minshew and you're a Jalen Hurts owner, and you don't have a reliable backup, I'm not ready to say that Sam Darnold is the guy you should be turning to. Let's continue with our start sits. Bills, Bears, and this game is in Chicago. I think, again, you're starting both Josh Allen and Justin Fields because even if you're not super bullish on their passing options, and obviously you're more bullish on Allen's passing options than you are in Fields' passing options, but still, even if you weren't, you're still starting both of them because we know the tremendous upside they both bring with their legs. But on the Bills' side of things, you mentioned Devin Singletary. It's really interesting because I think there was some consternation last week where Nyheim Hines vultured that TD against the Dolphins, and I think a lot of people were like, "Oh, great!" Like that helped absolutely nobody. But James Cook and Devin Singletary essentially split shares in the two games before the Dolphins game. Devin Singletary, 44% and 49% in those two games. Cook at 43% and 41%. Last time out, Devin Singletary back up to 60%, 47 snaps. So I got to imagine, if you're not counting Josh Allen himself, Devin Singletary is probably the guy, the most likely guy to get a rushing touchdown. But Isaiah McKenzie has not been able to lock down the kind of slot receiver role. So that role seems to have gone to James Cook.
James Cook, and then I think they're going to call up Cole Beasley for this game as well, as they reunite the band. But I actually do like both running backs in this one. I have Singletary a little bit higher, probably as like a mid-range RB2, only because he does get the red zone work on the ground, whereas James Cook is kind of the red zone guy from a pass-catching standpoint, unless they want to use Nyheim Hines for some reason, which I don't understand. But listen, again, weather going to determine a lot here. We're talking about crosswinds wind gusts up to 30 plus miles per hour. Not that that's an issue as much for Josh Allen as it is for maybe Justin Fields. It's going to be about the short passing game. Like, I think Gabe Davis is probably all but eliminated in this one from any sort of value. I think they're going to use Stephon Diggs more in the short passing game. And I do think that they're going to use James Cook and Devin Singletary both on the ground and through the air. But at the end of the day, this feels like the Josh Allen run for 85 yards and a touchdown type game. So I have Singletary as like a mid-range RB2, and I have James Cook locked into a flex spot. I think that he ends up having a really good day today as well.
And you don't need us to tell you to start Stephon Diggs. The guy is a WR1. I know he's had a couple of underwhelming games, but I mean, like, he's like, if you are in the fantasy semifinals and you own Stephon Diggs, you are likely in the fantasy semifinals, or at least in the position to get there because of Diggs. So don't get cute. Just start Stephon Diggs today. That's all I got to say. Chicago Bears, we talked about Justin Fields already. Khalil Herbert is back, I believe, right? He was activated after missing a bunch of time with injury, but I don't know. I don't think it's enough to not start David Montgomery. Like, I know the Bills are a talented defense, just generally speaking, and the rush defense probably is okay, generally speaking. But even still, I mean, if you look back at the last two games where Herbert scored a TD, and those two games were against the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys, two decent defenses as well, he was still outtouched significantly by David Montgomery. So for those reasons, I still have Monty as maybe a middle RB2. Like, you can't bench David Montgomery, even though he's playing the Bills.
You can't bench playoff Monty show. Yeah. You just can't. It just, there's, because the day that you bench playoff Monty is the day that he goes off.
It's true.
But I agree with you. I think that the Bears are going to rely heavily on the ground game today. I really do believe that. And it's going to be David Montgomery probably with 18 carries. Justin Fields is probably going to have 12 or 13 carries. And then I think that Khalil Herbert could approach 10 carries today. So am I trusting him in my lineup? No. Is it something to keep an eye on going forward, especially if you do end up getting to the final, if you have David Montgomery? Yes, but I agree. First game back, it's going to be David Montgomery's ball to handle. And I think that Justin Fields is, listen, this game is going to be hell for the opposing defenses because you really have to account for the quarterback running on almost every play, which you don't necessarily when the weather is a little bit better. But I think both quarterbacks are going to have good days today. And I think Justin Fields is locked into another QB1 finish against my Buffalo Bills, unfortunately, to say.
I'd seen that Justin Fields, he was talking to, I guess it was the media, and they asked him about getting to that 1,000 yard mark rushing mark, and he was kind of talking about how he doesn't feel the need to do it every year, but that because he's so close this year, he is actively going to try for that, which I'm sure is like music to owners of Justin Fields' ears, because how often do players actually go out and say, yeah, you know what, this statistical milestone, I'm going to gun for it. I need it. I'm going to hit it. Justin Fields didn't say it in as many words, but he basically confirmed that he is going for that 1,000-yard rushing mark. So if that's the case, then, hey, I mean, you weren't going to bench him anyways, but it's just kind of funny to hear, because I think a lot of people hear like things like what Miles Sanders said, where he's like, I don't care about your fantasy team, or I don't care about your betting ticket. And then you have people like Justin Fields and, to a lesser degree, Austin Eckler, who say, yeah, we really care about the fantasy people. So, hey, that's always nice to hear, I guess is what I'm saying, Matt.
Well, Justin Fields, first of all, I would love to see how many people chastise Justin Fields for being honest, because, you know, when athletes aren't honest and they sound like robots, we say, yeah, oh, they should have more personality. And then when they do, they should say, oh, you shouldn't say that. Old man yells at cloud. But I agree. I think it's great. And Justin Fields knows what he is. I think Justin Fields has improved immensely as a passer from last season. That's also because he doesn't have Matt Nagy calling plays for him and that offensive scheming, which was horrible. But Justin Fields is also one of the most dynamic players in the NFL. Like, did you see that not touchdown run last week?
Man.
Like
that was
if he had scored on that play, that would have been the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life on a football field. Like, it was incredible. It also would have won me money last week because I had Justin Fields anytime touchdown. But anyway, I digress because I was going nuts when he did that. But he knows what he is. He knows what history he's chasing. And I think go for it, Justin Fields. Just maybe don't get it against the Bills today, please.
Well, it's funny. You talk about like you and I have had this conversation at different times this season. But you look at guys who have had lots of – like, you look at, like, Josh Allen, for example, right? A guy who's had lots of success since his rookie season after things kind of changed for the better for him. And in his third season, he got Stephon Diggs, and he's looked amazing, right? Jalen Hurts, in his third season, gets A.J. Brown, looks amazing. Tua, in his third season, gets Tyreek Hill, looks amazing. What would Justin Fields, and he's going to be in his third season next year, what would Justin Fields with any elite wide receiver look like? Probably pretty amazing. Like, if I'm being honest, they probably also need to upgrade the offensive line, but let's be real. I mean, you want to see Justin Fields, as much as he is electric with legs, you want to see him throw the ball more efficiently as well. You don't want to see the continual struggles of, let's say, Lamar Jackson, and he's still obviously very, very talented, but he has to kind of, it almost feels like he's like squeezing blood from a stone with these receivers sometimes. And if there's one injury, everyone and everything gets thrown out of whack. So I would like to not see that for Justin Fields next season. I would also, for that matter, like to see things get better for Lamar as well. Saints at Browns is our next start sit here. And again, it's been a rough stretch for Nick Chubb. Matt, it's like since Deshaun Watson has become the starting quarterback, his value has taken a massive hit. Just the entire offense has looked awful, but he hasn't scored since Deshaun Watson has gone under center. The weird thing is his carries haven't changed, and his yards per carry are pretty consistent overall the entire season. It's just he hasn't scored. So maybe it's just like a freak coincidence, but the offense just has not looked quite the same. Having said that, while the biggest loser probably has not been Nick Chubb, it has probably been Amari Cooper, one of the bigger winners, I would say, has been our guy, Donovan Peoples-Jones. He has been, I mean, again, maybe he has been a little more efficient than you would like. You would like to see him get a bigger piece of that target share. But for what he has seen, he has looked pretty good so far.
Yeah, he really has. And one of the one of the underrated fantasy starts almost every single week, except for this week's show. I know this is probably the worst game in terms of weather across the board here, which is why I think that Nick Chubb finally gets the monkey off his back back into the end zone, because we're talking 30-mile-per-hour winds with wind gusts of 50-plus miles an hour. They might as well be playing in my backyard right now by the sounds of it. So I think that Deshaun Watson's rushing upside gets a little bit of an uptick, but I think that the passing upside is almost zero. I really do like Nick Chubb this week. I think they incorporate Kareem Hunt in the run game as well. I don't see a situation where they're going to be throwing the ball a whole heck of a lot. It's going to be a little bit of a mess of a game. And show, when we talk about bad weather, when we talk about running the ball on the other side, I think we know what that means, don't we?
Well, it's definitely not going to mean Alvin Kamara, that's for sure, as we know, right? I saw the report. I know this was speculation, so there's nothing to really like concretely point this way, but people are speculating that because of the weather, you could see more, and I shudder to say it, the fantasy Grinch here on Christmas Eve of Taysom Hill. I can't bring myself to like full-throated recommend that you start Taysom Hill on the fantasy semifinals. It could very well work out, because we know the ceiling for Taysom Hill is like 35 points. We know that because he has done it as recently as this season. His floor is also like negative points, essentially, right? So with that being the case, because, I mean, there's a world in which Taysom Hill throws an interception then never sees the field again, and you're stuck with like a -2 score from Taysom Hill. It probably somewhere is going to end up being around like 4 to 5 points or 5 to 10 points or something like that, which obviously you take, but, oh, man, trying to predict Taysom Hill points is like trying to predict the weather.
What a great time to use that saying. I'm going to do it. I am going to like, and people can hit me up on Twitter after when I make this incorrect prediction, but I think that you should start Taysom Hill this week. I'm going to say the weather is just so horrible there. Like, it's not football weather. It's like, you should stay inside your house and sit in front of your fire weather. It's exactly what we have here. Could you imagine trying to throw the ball? I mean, not us, because we can't throw like NFL quarterback, but could you imagine trying to throw in these winds today? Like, you talked about the snow hitting you in the face. Imagine what the football would do if you tried to throw it through the air. It'd be like a boomerang. So I'm going to start Taysom Hill. I'm going to start Alvin Kamara. I'm going to sit Chris Olave, and I'm probably going to sit Juwan Johnson as well, who's actually been pretty good this season. I think he's actually in as a tight end one this season, like around 10 or whatever, because of all the touchdowns. I do think Alvin Kamara gets the work. I do think Taysom Hill gets the work. And Taysom Hill, you can start him in your tight end spot. Like, here we go. I'm starting Taysom Hill over Mark Andrews this week.
Wow.
How about that?
That's pretty wild. That's dangerous.
And that is dangerous. And there's a very good chance that one bites me directly in the ass. But I'm going to take that chance, because just Mark Andrews hasn't been good, and everything points to Taysom Hill. I know those are the weeks that you generally sit him when everything points to Taysom Hill, but I'm starting Taysom Hill this week.
Yeah.
We can cut that and play it next week when I'm wrong.
Marchese living in the danger zone here on Christmas Eve. And yeah, Chris Olave also, I believe, has been ruled out now with that hamstring injury, which I guess leaves Rashid Shaheed, which is a fantastic name, as probably like the guy, but still, I don't know. Like, maybe if you're filling out like a DFS lineup, you might play Rashid Shaheed as your last guy there. But yeah, I got him as a flex play, and probably that's it. It just seems like a kind of a boomer bust type of player, which is basically how the entire Saints offense has been under Dennis Allen, unfortunately. So yeah, like you said, I think it's pretty much Alvin Kamara and, unfortunately, Taysom Hill as the most reliable options today. Seahawks, Chiefs, let's boogie through a couple of these before we hit a break. And don't forget, on the other side of the break, we will get to all of your text line questions on the People's Text Line. 590-590 is where you can reach us, of course. It's in about 10 minutes. Seahawks, Chiefs, our next one here. Geno Smith being named a Pro Bowler, as he so richly deserves. So very pleased for Geno. Geno probably, you know what, even when I've thought the matchup is not good for him, he has delivered. So I think for the rest of the season, I'm just starting Geno Smith just because he has played so well. He is, I think, in my estimation, maybe like a lower-end QB1 this week, but still a pretty good one. I believe Kenneth Walker is on track to play. I know the Seahawks did elevate a couple of running backs from the practice squad, but I get the sense that is actually more for just insurance purposes if Walker doesn't go, or even if DJ Dallas doesn't go. But given that Kenneth Walker did play last week, I'm thinking he plays this week.
Yeah, I'll play Kenneth Walker with confidence, and I think he's probably a good start. Like, listen, the Chiefs defense has not been very good this year. They give up points and certainly give up fantasy points. I like Geno Smith as I actually like him a little bit higher. I like him as a QB5 area, right, just because the Chiefs just, they can't defend anybody, and they're largely, as they have been for a bit, they largely depend on Patrick Mahomes kind of carrying this team, which is fine because he's, you know, arguably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I like DK Metcalf in this one as well. And I do like Marquise Goodwin. With Tyler Lockett out, I do think this is a really solid flex start. Like, if you believe that Marquise Goodwin is going to take Tyler Lockett's workload, then you've got, you know, back-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two upside there, and you're going to play him in a flex spot because he picked him up on waivers. Like, I'm that confident that I would start him on a playoff team in a flex spot here.
Former track star Marquise Goodwin, right?
Yeah.
I was like in conversation.
Former Buffalo Bill great.
Yeah, there you go, right? Legend down in Buffalo. On the Chiefs side of things, like you mentioned, Mahomes, you don't need us to tell you to start him or Travis Kelce. I think Juju is probably a WR3, and he is trusted enough to see the dirty work in the middle of the field. Like, before, it was pretty much just Travis Kelce who would see those balls thrown into just super tight windows, and he'd make the contested catch. Well, Juju is being asked to do that as well. He was being asked to do that before the concussion, and then they kind of worked him back in relatively slowly, but I think he is back. So I'm thinking you can use him as a lower-end WR2, maybe a higher-end WR3, depending on where your rankings, your personal rankings may fall. But I think you can definitely start Juju this week. The question for me is Jerick McKinnon versus Isaiah Pacheco, because Pacheco got a taste of the doghouse after he fumbled against the Texans, and then that opened the door for another massive game from Jerick McKinnon. Pacheco did see the field late in that game, so I'm not thinking you see Jerick McKinnon just absolutely dominate like the snap share and the touches overall when it comes to running backs. But I think based on how things have gone and how much Patrick Mahomes uses him in the passing game, I'm thinking Jerick McKinnon is someone you start maybe as an RB, lower end RB2.
I believe Jerick McKinnon was actually RB1 the last 2 weeks, just because
he's been able
to get into the end zone. Like, it's nuts. I've got him as a high end RB2, just because it feels like they've cemented his role, right? Like, he's the passing down back, and they're going to use him a lot. It's that element, that dynamic element that they can use now to take away, because they don't necessarily have, well, they don't have the deep threat like they did with Tyreek Hill. So they've changed up their offense, right? I still like Isaiah Pacheco here. He has at least 66 rushing yards or a TD in 6 straight games, even though he was in the doghouse last week. The Chiefs need to run the ball. Like, because they don't have Tyreek Hill, they need to run the ball. They need to be a more balanced offense. And I think that Pacheco, if you're comfortable with 60 yards plus, then you can play him in, you know, a flex spot or whatever, then I'm comfortable in that spot.
Let's do Giants Vikings before we hit a break here. And I think, I mean, look, you're starting Saquon Barkley. I feel like he's probably a lock to win comeback player of the year. I'm not sure who else is in contention there, but I'm giving it to Saquon because he has just been one of my favorite stories of the entire season. He has been a workhorse this year. 9 TDs this year, averages over 4.3 yards per carry, so you're obviously starting him. My question really is Darius Slayton, where do you rank him? Because I got him as a flex play. Isaiah Hodgins is someone who can probably also start as a flex play, but at the same time, we just know this is an offense that runs more than they pass, and it's like not really all that close. So, you know, any pass catcher is probably at best a flex play, if only because this is going to be the Saquon Barkley show. And honestly, to a lesser degree, the Daniel Jones show, because we know he moves the ball with his feet pretty efficiently as well.
Yeah, Minnesota's giving up the sixth most points per game to opposing QBs, and they've given up, that defense has given up a lot of points. Like when we look at the game against Buffalo, they gave up 30 plus. We look at last week against the Colts offense, which, dare I say, and they lost Jonathan Taylor in that game, is not as good as the Giants offense, which is a really weird thing to say. So I think Daniel Jones is in a good spot. I do have Darius Slayton as a flex play. I do like Isaiah Hodgins as well. He's looked really good since joining the New York Giants and getting a more prominent role in the offense. Brian Daboll had him in Buffalo, so there's the connection there. And of course, Saquon Barkley's in a really good spot here. Minnesota is they're middle of the pack against opposing running backs, but I don't think that Saquon Barkley is like very many other running backs, so I like him in this spot as well. And this is the one of very few games where weather is not an issue because they're in a dome. Indoors. Thankfully.
They're playing in Minnesota, the new stadium out there in Minneapolis, so that's always great to see when you don't have to worry too much about the weather when it comes to fantasy football and your playoff matchups. For the Vikings, obviously, if you're starting any of these guys, you're probably in a pretty good spot. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and I'm going to include TJ Hawkinson. You're probably starting any of those guys. Don't need us to tell you that. Adam Thielen, WR3. Again, if you have better options than Adam Thielen, I'd feel okay starting them just because I know he did have the touchdown last week, but he finished with 4 targets and he was basically invisible until basically the end of the game, right? So I'm not sure if that's something you can 100% rely on. If you have no better option, then sure, because he still is a part of the passing game. But now that Hawkinson is there, he is clearly the third banana in the passing game.
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, he had only 4 targets and they threw the ball 54 times. Like, I know KJ Osborne was a beast last week. I don't expect KJ Osborne to be a beast against the Giants defense. And the Giants defense is not, they're no slouch against the pass, especially against opposing wide receivers. So I'm going to sit. I know people went and picked up KJ Osborne. I'm sitting KJ Osborne. I'm sitting Adam Thielen. I'm going to start the, you know, the usual suspects. I think Kirk Cousins will be okay in this one. He is at home, so he will, generally speaking, be better. Of course, Dalvin Cook after that monster week last week, even though the Giants against running backs have been a little bit susceptible. So I'm okay with Dalvin Cook. I actually quite like him this week. And TJ Hawkinson, I believe that the Giants are allowing the 11th most points per game to opposing tight ends. So I think he's in a good spot here as well.
Justin Jefferson also may be in contention to be the number one overall pick next year. Like, honestly, if you don't have the number one overall pick and you think a running back is going to go number one, then honestly, I would be shocked if people passed up Justin Jefferson next year, because he has been absolutely phenomenal. He is the WR1 in fantasy. Let's take a very quick break, Matt. When we come back, the People's text line at 590-590, name and location, please. I see a whole bunch of text line messages and questions here. So again, you want some advice on your fantasy football semifinals matchup? Shoot us a text right now at 590-590, name and location. We'll get to all of those text line questions on the other side of the break. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour 2 of The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Week 16, of course, is here as well. The fantasy semifinals for your playoff matchup here this snowy weekend, at least in Toronto. I hope if it's in Calgary or Vancouver you're listening, it's slightly less windy, but still, we welcome everyone here. And again, stay safe no matter where you are. Mr. Marchese, are you ready for some text line questions this Saturday morning?
Ho, ho, ho. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
As always, you guys know the drill, the People's Text Line, 590-590 is where you can reach us. We'll get to as many questions as we can over the next 10 minutes or so. And any we don't answer on the air, we will answer off the air as soon as this show is done. While Inside the Lines is going, I will give Marchese a call. We will answer all of your questions regardless, so don't fear. Fear not, we will answer all of your questions. Let's get to a couple here. Let's see. Good morning, fellows. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Mark from Toronto. Big playoff game. Here we go. So half PPR. Needs 2 of 3. Pollard, Ramondre, and Connor. And then he needs 1 of 2. D-Hop or Christian Watson. Now, I read those both together, Matt, because for me, I'm benching Connor, and I probably start DeAndre Hopkins, and I just don't know if I feel comfortable starting both those guys with Trace McSorley as quarterback.
Yeah, I DeAndre Hopkins is kind of QB proof at this point. Like, he just seems to perform with whoever is at quarterback, so I would agree there. And I do agree, like, for me, it's not even about having two guys in that same offense. I just think I like Pollard and Ramondre Stevenson better this week. Like, the Eagles run defense is not, it's been okay, but Pollard's been good. And how do you not start Ramondre Stevenson in any situation? After last week, there was a chance that he wasn't going to play, and then he runs for like a billion yards. So I agree with you on both of those.
And Mark's other question was a defense question, Cleveland or Tennessee. Now, the Browns are playing the Saints, as we discussed, and I believe the Titans are playing, oh, the Texans. They're playing the Texans. So it's interesting, right? Like, I know the Titans are a popular pickup for specifically for this Week 16 matchup. And full disclosure, I am starting the Titans in a couple of my playoff leagues. Having said that, I don't feel super comfortable about it, if only because the Texans have been putting up points lately. Like, they almost beat the Cowboys. Like, they're actually being relatively competitive in the last couple of weeks.
To be honest with you, I would almost much rather start the Texans defense over the Titans defense. Like, Malik Willis is starting this
week.
Yeah,
that's true.
I know he looked better in limited time last week, but I mean, Tennessee's secondary has just hemorrhaged points to opposing QBs and wide receivers this year. I would much rather play Cleveland's defense in that what could be a mess of a game. Like, if, you know, the ball could end up in who knows how many different directions with the win. I would actually start Cleveland's defense over Tennessee's this week.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Just because we know the Tennessee defense has also suffered a just whack of injuries, right? Just a lot of guys have gotten injured. And I'm sure some of them are returning this week. It's just, yeah, the Texans have been more competitive as of late. And like you said, when the offense is also doesn't move the ball as well as they're used to, then, I mean, you know what? It might not make a difference because we know the Texans defense is abysmal. It just absolutely god awful against the run. And Derrick Henry is going to probably completely destroy them today, even with Malik Willis there. So I am curious to see what happens, but yeah, I think you're probably right. Go Browns over Titans. Let's see, Mike and Markham. Good morning, fellas. Happy holiday to you and yours. Happy holiday to you as well, Mike. Half PPR, need one tight end and two flex. Okay, so his tight end options are, let's see, Kittle. Okay, so his three options, I should say, are Kittle, Andrews, Mostert, Montgomery. And he currently has Andrews benched from that group. So he is going Kittle, and then for his two flex plays, Mostert and Montgomery. So I guess he just wants to know if Andrews should make it in over any of those guys.
I don't think so. I think he's got it right. I think it's Kittle, I think it's Mostert, and I think it's Montgomery. I don't think, again, how do you start Mark Andrews the way he's played? And the quarterback play just hasn't been good enough with Tyler Huntley, the fourth alternate for the Pro Bowl, which, again, so stupid. So I would not have Andrews in on that group, so I think that's correct.
I think so too, yeah. I mean, George Kittle, is there always, like, there's always a risk that Kittle just sits back there and blocks, essentially, as like your sixth offensive lineman, and he's very good at it, obviously, but he is also a menace in the passing game, as we saw, and he is, I mean, hey, tight ends are usually rookie's best friend, and he has been helping Brock Purdy out pretty efficiently, so I expect that to continue. Simon from Richmond Hill will continue with these questions, and again, shoot us questions at 590-590, name and location, please. Simon from Richmond Hill, standard league, start two, DJ Chark, Marquise Brown, and Jordan Palmer. Thanks for all the advice this year. Wouldn't have come this far without your help. Love the show. Hey, Simon, we really, really appreciate you waking up with us, waking up early. He sent this text at 8 a.m., so he was, like, right on it to send that text earlier in the show. So, again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Simon. So, again, start two. You're basically benching one of DJ Chark, Marquise Brown, and Jordan Palmer in a standard league.
Josh Palmer, just so... I don't think we want to start Jordan Palmer this week. So.
Maybe I've been watching too much of The Bachelor. I'm sorry.
I like it. This is a really tough question because you talk about Trace McSorley starting, and that kind of limits Hollywood Brown. And of course, the week that you start Josh Palmer, it's going to be the week that Mike Williams goes off for 112 and Keenan Allen has 90 yards. But I think the safer plays are DJ Chark and Josh Palmer, to be honest with you. So that's what I would go with.
So you are benching Brown?
Yeah, I am. I just, again, Trace McSorley, like, do I really trust Trace McSorley against the Bucs defense? I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, you're probably right. But the Bucs defense, by the way, probably a good play this week. But, I mean, they're also probably a team that has been rostered for much of the season, right? So it's probably not a defense you can just go and pick up off. I mean, it might be, but if it's on the off chance it is, you grab them. But more than likely, they are rostered. It's not really a question, but I want to read this one. Steve from East York, who does text in pretty often, he just says, I don't have any questions. I didn't make the playoffs, but I just wanted to wish you guys a safe and happy holidays. Hey, I feel your pain, Steve. Didn't make it to the playoffs in a couple of my many leagues, but still, it's never fun, but at the same time, hey, at least you can watch football and not have to be, like, yelling at the TV all the time, because that's essentially what my weekends are every single Saturday and Sunday.
Right? Yeah, but, you can also be like me and yell at the TV because you're losing money.
That's true, too.
Right? Like, so you got to be careful here.
All right, well, I'm hoping...
Pick your poison.
I'm hoping for Steve's sake that he is not like you. And then he is. Yes. He does not gamble too much. Dylan in Toronto, PPR League, Kenneth Walker or J.K. Dobbins? I think that's an interesting one. I think I might still go ultimately Dobbins over Walker, if only because of the injury concern. But if all is equal... We know they give Kenneth Walker the ball a whole hell of a lot. Honestly, I kind of wonder if there isn't a way to start both these guys.
Yeah, that's what my question would be. Is there any way to start both of them? But if I had to choose, it's PPR, right? So
yeah, full PPR.
Kenneth Walker does get used a little bit in the passing game, but J.K. Dobbins has been so efficient on the ground. That game screams the weather's going to be horrible, so just run the ball. I'm going to lean Dobbins, but it's by a slight margin. And I agree with you. If there's any way to get both of them in the lineup, I would consider that.
Let's get to a couple more here. There's actually one on the Colts running back. So I want to get to that one before we go. But Vince from Brantford, happy holidays, Vince. He says, I have Waddle, Godwin, Lamb, and Hicks. He doesn't say what format this is, by the way. But Waddle, Godwin, Lamb, and Higgins. I can only play three of them. So you are benching one of Jalen Waddle, Chris Godwin, CeeDee Lamb, and T. Higgins. That's a tough one because I don't know that you really want to bench any of them. I guess because of the struggles, the general struggles with the Buccaneers offense, it might be Godwin. But at the same time, Brady does favor Godwin over basically everyone else. For me, it's between Godwin and Lamb to bench just because of how things have gone. Dallas offense, they like to run the ball a lot more, and they can because Tony Pollard and Zeke have both been very good. So where do you fall on this one?
It's a really tough question. I kind of lean, and I really like this player, but I kind of lean to bench T. Higgins just because, you know, it's another game that the weather is going to be a factor. Whereas the other games, it's not nearly as bad. Like we're looking at some potential wind gusts of up to 25 miles per hour in that game in the Cincinnati New England. And New England has been pretty good against the pass this season. So if I have to pick out of those, I mean, Waddle has a you know, I know Green Bay is not the easiest of matchups, but they manufacture yards for Jalen Waddle. Godwin against the Cardinals, I think you have to start him. And CeeDee Lamb against the Eagles, that's probably a tough one, but does that not feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game anyway? So I think I lean to sit T. Higgins in this one.
Let's get to that last one before we get back to the start sits, because we have a lot of start sits to still get to. Jay from Guelph, like me, he lost Jonathan Taylor to injury last week. He has Pirine on the bench. So he basically wants to know, Pirine or the Indy running backs, Moss or Deion Jackson? So Zach Moss, Deion Jackson, that's Jay from Guelph. That's a tough one because now that Mixon is back, Pirine has taken a backseat. We know he's capable of being the guy because he's been very talented in the spot starts when Mixon was out. But I don't know. It's also tough because you kind of have to guess. We've heard that Jeff Saturday is going to be rotating between both healthy running backs and Zach Moss and Deion Jackson. I don't know what format this is, but if this is, because it doesn't say, but if it is half or full PPR, I might lean Deion Jackson on Monday night instead of Pirine.
I'm leaning Deion Jackson either way, I think. I just, the Chargers are going to probably, I anticipate that game script is going to determine. I know that Jeff Saturday says he can rotate both backs, but if they're down and they need to throw, it's going to be Deion Jackson. Zach Moss is a decent pass catcher, but he's not as good as Deion Jackson. So I'm going to go with the latter, and it'll be Deion Jackson for me.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, for example, in the league where I lost Jonathan Taylor, I am starting Deion Jackson as well. But that does it for our text line questions here this Saturday morning, not Sunday morning. But hey, if you still want to send us some text line questions, you can certainly do so at 590-590, name and location, please. As I said, even though we didn't get to all of them on the air, we will get to all of them off the air in about 45 minutes. So keep them coming, and we will answer all of them before the games get going in a couple of hours. But let's continue with our start sits, Matt. You mentioned it when we answered one of those questions just now, the Bengals at Patriots game. And we'll continue with this one. Like you said, the weather not looking super great, which does speak to me for Patriots, at least. It does speak to starting Rhamondre Stevenson. I mean, like, look, he's been so good this season. You're not benching him anyways, but Rhamondre Stevenson is the guy. Honestly, I wouldn't start anyone else. Like Jacoby Myers, regardless of what happened against the Raiders, I just like probably would not start anyone else, because I'm not sure how much you want to trust a Mac Jones led offense from the pass catcher's perspective in your playoff matchup.
Yeah, no. It's Rhamondre Stevenson, and that is absolutely it. Like there's no, man, would you be surprised if Jacoby Myers dresses and doesn't play a snap today? Because I feel like that is very well within the realm of possibility.
I know.
So I would say just don't get cute with your lineup. Play Rhamondre Stevenson. Play no one else on this Patriots team, and you will be just fine. You know who I actually would consider starting? And I know it's, you know, whatever. Like Nick Folk is the only other player that I would consider starting.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Nick Folk has been pretty good this year. He's used to kicking in the elements. I definitely don't feel bad about Nick Folk. He probably will end up being the next highest scoring member of this Patriots offense from a fantasy perspective. From a Cincinnati perspective, Burrow, Mixon, Chase, you're all starting those guys. T. Higgins, again, like the Patriots allow the ninth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, but at the same time, you can only really stop one of Chase and Higgins from exploding here, right? I expect Higgins to have a decent day, but as we talked about when we were discussing the texter's question, and again, his question was interesting because he has so many fantastic options. Again, if you have no better options, I think you can feel decent about starting T. Higgins, but if you're looking for ceiling, the ceiling might be limited in a weather strewn matchup.
Yeah, I'm okay with T. Higgins. It's just in that particular question, I don't know how you sit the other guys, but T. Higgins will be, here's the thing, in a game like this, you're going to be able to use the short passing game, and Higgins, they can use in the short passing game. Jamar Chase, they can use in the short passing game on screens, whatever. Like those guys are going to get their work, and Joe Burrow is going to be Joe Burrow. He started off slow last week against the Bucks, and then he blew up in the second half. So I like all those guys, and I do really like Joe Mixon in this one. I think, you know, he had the week back last week, and he didn't quite split carries with Samaje Perine, but he was worked in a little bit more gingerly than I thought we were going to see him worked in. But I think he's full go this week, and I really like him this week against the Patriots.
Let's do Texans at Titans. And we kind of talked about this one a little bit as well. But, I mean, beyond – actually, you know what? I was going to say beyond, like, Chris Moore. Is there anyone are you really starting? But there actually might not be a single start on this Texans offense. Like, unless you're, like, in a 14 to 16 team league, honestly.
I think Brandon Cooks is back this week, if that tickles your fancy. I believe he is back. I mean, that's thought I saw that. But the thing is here's the only reason why I would consider Chris Moore or Brandon Cooks. And so he is expected to play, according to Ian Rappaport. He's a full participant late in the week. So it's because the Titans have allowed the most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. They've allowed the third most fantasy points per game against quarterbacks. And dare I say that Davis Mills, and I know you're going to say, well, how can you start Davis? In two QB leagues, I would start Davis Mills against the Titans. And I would probably start Brandon Cooks as well, just because, again, Titans are horrible against quarterbacks and wide receivers this year. They're really good against running backs, which doesn't matter because the Texans don't have a running back to start anyway. So I like Brandon Cooks. I don't hate Chris Moore either in this matchup, and I do like Davis Mills.
On the Titans side of things, I guess, like, obviously you're starting Derrick Henry, but apart from him, I mean, I do wonder how much Malik Willis has affected people's confidence in starting, let's say, Chigakonkwo, certainly, or Treylon Burks, or really any pass catcher, probably to a certain degree. Like, I can't in good conscience recommend that people start Okongwu because he has been so good, but at the same time, the passing game with Malik Willis, as we have seen, has basically been, it's been non-existent. Doesn't exist, Matt.
Yeah, no, we can't start anybody but Derrick Henry here. And Derrick, like, would you be surprised if Derrick Henry had 30 carries this
Maybe
week?
Even more, honestly.
50 carries. You get a carry. This is the opposite of the Oprah gif. Derrick Henry is the only one getting carries today. I mean, Malik Willis will have his, but Derrick Henry, I think, ends up having, it really is the perfect storm, no pun intended, for Derrick Henry this week, because they're not going to throw the ball as much, which means he's going to get more work. And he's also playing the Texans, who are the worst team against opposing running backs this year. It feels like we could see like a record-breaking Derrick Henry day. I really do believe that.
I hope we do. That'd be kind of fun, actually. I mean, it'd be fun. It's fun for me because I'm not facing Derrick Henry in any of my playoff matchups. But for those of you who are, I hope he has a terrible day. And simultaneously, for those who are playing him, I hope he has a great day. So it's kind of like Schrodinger's Derrick Henry until we see what what goes on again for the Titans later today. For Commanders, 49ers is our next start sit. I think for this game, from the Commanders' perspective, I know Brian Robinson has been on a roll. He has three straight 100-yard games, and I think he is probably the best pure running back in Washington. I still believe in Antonio Gibson, but I don't know if he's the best like run between the tackles guy. But Brian Robinson, I think I might have him at best as a flex play, just because I'm not sure what the 49ers defense will do to this Commanders offense, specifically to Taylor Heinicke. And if he can't get anything going, then I'm not sure Brian Robinson is a super safe play. Like, he might be at best flex play today just because the 49ers defense is really, really, really good. And he is not exactly one of the matchup proof running backs. Maybe he is one day, but certainly not this year, which basically means for me, the only really reliable target I think you can start. And even then, I think you're, as we like to say, tempering expectations is Scary Terry here.
Yeah, and actually, the Niners against opposing wide receivers haven't been as good as you think they would have been because of how good the defense has been. They're allowing the 13th most points per game to wide receivers, but it's Terry McLaurin at wide receiver and full stop. Like, I'm not starting anybody else. I'm not starting Taylor Heinicke. As for the running backs, I actually like Antonio Gibson better this week than Brian Robinson. It does feel like a game that Washington's going to be behind and game script is going to dictate more passing. And I think that falls solely in the hands of Antonio Gibson. So I do like him better than Brian Robinson this week, but also a flex play for me.
On the 49ers side of things, I don't think you need us to tell you to start Christian McCaffrey, who oddly was not a Pro Bowler. I'm convinced people that more than anything else convinced me that players don't watch the rest of the NFL, because
100%.
How Christian McCaffrey is not a Pro Bowler is just mystifying. But still, you're starting him every week. And I think, look, you're starting Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. I think, obviously, like we said, Kittle is, generally speaking, tight ends are a rookie's best friend. And Kittle, obviously, he caught, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns on 4 passes last week. Obviously, still one of the best tight ends in the game. So, George Kittle, you're starting him. And Brock Purdy is pretty much the only real question in this one, in the sense of, do you start someone like Purdy? In a 2QB league, I think you can if you missed out on Minshew and you don't have Hurts, for example. But that's it's probably like the only scenario in which I'd feel comfortable starting Purdy.
He's been QB10 over the last 3 weeks. And in one of those weeks, he did not start the game. That was when he took over for Jimmy Garoppolo. And dare I say, against the Washington defense, I kind of like this only because he does game manage, but Kyle Shanahan has used the playbook to his benefit and it's really worked out for him. He's got good weapons. He's got a good offensive line. Like, if you have to decide between starting, let's say, Brock Purdy or Jared Goff, because I think that's a realistic question.
Sure.
I would lean Brock Purdy. Like I would even consider him over Kirk Cousins this week against playing the Giants.
You're really high on Brock Purdy. Damn.
I think he has that back end QB1, high end QB2 upside only because he hasn't turned the ball over. And I mean that can change, but Washington's defense doesn't scream the purple people eaters the Chicago Bears defense from the 85. I was thinking Minnesota Vikings for a second. The Chicago Bears 85 defense, they're not that. So I just think that Kyle Shanahan manages the play calling very well with Purdy, and I like him as a guy who's not going to turn the ball over. He's probably going to throw two touchdowns, and he's got a decent rushing upside, maybe 20 or 30 yards on the ground. I think it's a good play.
Before we hit a quick break here, Matt, let's do Eagles Cowboys. And I wanted to play this clip for you real quick, just because we don't often like look back on what we talk about in previous weeks because, you know, you win some, you lose some. But I ought to say I was thinking about this on my drive in this morning. So I wanted to play this. This is when we talked about Cowboys Jaguars, which, by the way, ended in a truly bizarre fashion with a walk-off pick six. The Jaguars last week, but this is one of the little snippets we discussed here on this program last Sunday for Cowboys Jaguars.
I think this is one of like a 35, 31 game or whatever. Like it's going to be high scoring, and I think that Dak Prescott's going to have a good week, as do I think CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalton Schultz are also going to have good weeks. And as a higher end kind of boomer bust flex play, I think Michael Gallup is in that conversation as well.
So what you're saying is that Noah Brown will catch three touchdowns today?
Probably. Like that's just the way it's going it's going to happen that way. It always does, doesn't it?
Tony Pollard,
like, this is the perfect matchup.
They're going to get the offense is going to get the ball down to the 1 yard line, and then Noah Brown's going to catch a TD on the very next play.
Or like that, or one of the backup tight ends. Like I know Jake Ferguson's not playing, so it'll be Hendershot that ends up catching a touchdown or running one in, which would be even more bizarre.
It absolutely was an extremely bizarre game. Again, the Jaguars, they won that game 40-34. So it was a very high scoring game, like you said. Dak Prescott threw three touchdowns last week, and they all went. He threw two to Noah Brown and one to Peyton Hendershot. That is the most absurd thing. Like, I just said that on a lark, and two touchdowns went to Brown, no touchdown. I mean, CeeDee Lamb still had seven catches for 126 yards last week, so let's not pretend like he had a bad game by any means. Tony Pollard, 19 carries for 75 yards and four catches for 31 yards. Zeke scored the first touchdown of that game as well, but boy, Hendershot catching that TD in a day where Dalton Schultz had two catches for 15 yards. Ooh, that got me, Matt. That got me.
Well, I'm telling you, I missed out on a nice single game parlay bet because I had a Dalton Schultz touchdown. And not only did they throw the touchdown to Peyton Hendershot, but when you called it, they're going to get the ball to the 1 yard line and they're going to throw a touchdown pass to Noah Brown. They got the ball to the 1 yard line and Dak Prescott looked at Dalton Schultz.
He
looked right at him wide open. And then the defender at that split second said, "Oh, I'm going to go cover him." And then he threw it, in the middle of the field to Noah Brown. And I was like, we literally just called that was going to happen. And it cost me money. Like it was the double whammy. I was happy that we called it, but I was really pissed that was like, over $200 that was out of my pocket at that point, because not that it was out of my pocket, but I missed out on it. Very, very upsetting, but way to go. Kellen Moore. Thanks a lot, jackass.
Thanks a lot, Kellen Moore. This week on the Cowboys, I know the Eagles defense has been better as of late, but still they haven't been as good as they were in the first couple weeks of the season. So I think you can still start Dak Prescott, certainly, unless you're starting like Mahomes as your other QB. You think you can still certainly start Dak Prescott. You can still start Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz. It's really just Michael Gallup I'm out on, really. It's just I'm not sure I want any part of that. I mean, over the last, three catches for 42 yards in his last two games combined. Maybe things change against the Eagles, but I'm not sure the game against your fantasy semifinals opponent, I should say, is the time to really be experimenting with that. And on the Eagles side of things, again, no Jalen Hurts. He is out, which means that Gardner Minshew is going to play. I have him as a QB2 just because we know the Dallas Cowboys is a tough matchup for any defense, although he does have a very good offensive line with a full complement of healthy players. Dallas Goedert is going to play. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Miles Sanders, all guys you can start as well. But just, I don't know, after Miles Sanders' dud last week, I think you just maybe pencil him in for RB2 expectations instead of the regular RB1.
Yeah, that was a weird one because matchup said Miles Sanders is going to have a great week against the Bears, and it was they barely ran him in that game, which was so
barely.
Weird. Yeah, and nice. But I will say this: the legend of Gardner Minshew grows today. Gardner Minshew finishes as a top 7 quarterback.
Wow.
He's shown in previous years that he can be good without a not so good supporting cast and a terrible offensive line. He's got a really good offensive line, and you could make the argument the most talented trio of pass catchers in A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert. I think you can make that case. So it's, I don't know, for me, like if he doesn't have a good week this week, then it doesn't make any sense. Regardless of the matchup, the Eagles offense is really good. And I'm not saying that Gardner Minshew is as good as Jalen Hurts, but I don't know. He's still going to have a good week, in my opinion. I've got him as a top 7 QB.
You know what? I said we were going to take a quick break. Let's wrap up on the Saturday games before we get to the Sunday games on the other side. The Saturday nighter, rather, is Raiders at Steelers. And look, you're starting Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, regardless, but Devontae Adams did not have the greatest of games against the Patriots. Despite the ending of that one, he had 4 receptions for 28 yards. That is a tough thing to see in the quarterfinals. But if you are, if you did somehow survive, let's say, to the semifinals, and you do have Devontae Adams, I think you can definitely fire him up because the Pittsburgh defense has allowed the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers. I don't think you're benching him, certainly, but I think you definitely you can feel better about it, let's say, versus last week. Darren Waller did score a touchdown in his return against the Patriots last week, so I got him maybe as a low-end TE1, if only because it's really hard to not be a TE1 when you're someone like Darren Waller and you're healthy. So if he remains to be healthy, I think you can hope for better options from him. Derek Carr, QB2 for me, just because it's been a pretty middling season for Derek Carr. On the Steelers side of things, Matt, I think Najee Harris, he honestly has turned a corner. Since the bye week, he has posted pretty steady RB2 numbers, so I'm going to keep him as an RB2. And Deontay Johnson, as long as he keeps getting the insane amount of target share, I think he's the guy you can feel okay starting. It's just that's all come from Mitch Trubisky, and it looks like Kenny Pickett is going to start this week.
Yeah, it's, again, one of those weird situations where a quarterback, like, why can't they just split between Deontay Johnson and George Pickens?
Yeah.
Right? Because they're both really good receivers. But Johnson's been really good. 10 catches and 98 yards last week and 6 catches for 82 yards the previous week. I have him as a back end wide receiver too because of a plus matchup against the Raiders. I feel like George Pickens only had 5 targets last week. He had 2 catches for 53 yards. There's no way that he does that again. Like, he's got to be better, right? So I've got him as a back-end wide receiver 3 flex play. And Pat Freiermuth's not going to get a 0 again, right? He can't, right?
You hope so.
It can't happen. Raiders allowing the 9th most points per game to opposing tight ends. And, of course, like you mentioned, I love Najee Harris this week. He's going to get into the end zone. I'm very confident in that. So I like... It's the Steelers are, you know, even with Kenny Pickett there, I think they're in a good spot. This should be a better matchup for Kenny Pickett coming off of the concussion. I do like those guys, Johnson, Pickens, Freiermuth, and Najee Harris.
We do know that the Steelers do, generally speaking, rely pretty heavily on the run game, but apparently temperatures may be as low as, I'm seeing here, -4 degrees Fahrenheit, which I think is just like, I don't know what that is in Celsius for everyone here in Canada, but that's really cold. Like that's like
bleeping
minus,
cold in Canada is what it is.
That's like less, that's like worse than -20 or something like that, right? So I don't know, you want any part of that if you are in a pass catcher. So
-20 -20 Celsius.
That is -20. So there you go. So that's really cold. So I think you might see a lot of Najee Harris today, especially against the Vegas defense, which allows the 4th most fantasy points to running backs this season. So let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up on the Sunday games, look at the Monday nighter with the Colts as well. You're listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Segment to go on the Sportsnet Radio Network. You're listening to The Fantasy Show here this week 16, Christmas Eve as well, for those who celebrate. Happy holidays to everyone out there listening. Stay safe with all the crazy weather across the country, but regardless, we hope you win your week 16 fantasy semifinals matchup. We're here for all the injury news and notes. Starts this for every single game. Still some time to send us questions on the People's Text line at 590-590, name and location, please. Let's continue with our start sits, Matt, for the Sunday games. There are three games tomorrow on Christmas Day. Then there's one game on Boxing Day. So the games spread out in a huge fashion this week 16. So now that we can start with the Sunday games, I just want to say that I wish the NFL had some kind of veto power over games that take place on holidays, because we got Packers-Dolphins. Let's see, Packers-Dolphins, which we'll start with in a sec, Broncos-Rams and Bucks-Cardinals. No one wants to see two of those three games. Let's be real.
Correct.
Like, no one, like Packers-Dolphins already, I'm kind of tepid on, but Broncos-Rams, so you're going to see what? Like Russell Wilson against, I don't know,
Baker Mayfield.
That's right, Baker Mayfield. You're going to see Tom Brady against Trace McSorley. I don't know. They should be able to flex these games, honestly.
It is horrible. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch football on Christmas. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to watch that much football on Christmas.
No, you're not. I think my TV, as much as I like to think it will be on football, I think I'm going to be flipping back and forth between all the various NBA games and the NFL games. Packers-Dolphins, though, again, A.J. Dillon had probably his best week of the season. He had two touchdowns. He did go through concussion protocol. It did clear, which I imagine means you can start him. I still have him as a flex play because when Aaron Jones is healthy, he is the guy who's going to be seeing the bulk of the work. So you can start both of those guys, and I think you can start maybe Alan Lazard as a flex and Christian Watson as a WR3, but ultimately the offense will flow through the running backs.
Yeah, it's going to, and it usually does. Like, the only wide receiver that I know for a fact he cost people matchups, that Christian Watson play near the end of the game last week where he didn't turn when he was supposed to. And Aaron Rodgers basically hit him in the ass with the ball. I'm not starting anybody but Christian Watson from a pass catching perspective. I mean, it should be a good matchup for Aaron Rodgers, but we know nothing's going to happen with that. So we're not starting Aaron Rodgers. And I think you can start both running backs. I do agree, A.J. Dillon in a flex spot, but high-end flex because of that touchdown upside.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I still think they used A.J. Dillon at the goal line, if only because it looked like Aaron Jones was still dealing with the lingering injury. But I think he did have more practices, more full practices and so on this week than he did the week prior. So perhaps that is something to keep in mind, but either way, yeah, you can still start both these guys, and I imagine a lot of people will be. For the Dolphins, you can certainly start Tua. I think his upside is probably capped as a QB2, only because he just doesn't throw the ball a lot, right? I mean, he hasn't been throwing the ball a lot, generally speaking, but still only over 35 times, just once in the past four games. And even with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle being guys you can start every week, they do lean more on the running game, which means that you can obviously start, and probably should be starting, Raheem Mostert. I forget if Jeff Wilson Jr., I don't think he's 100% healthy. So either way, even if he starts, you're not going to start him in your semifinals matchup. But apart from him, are you starting anyone else outside of Mostert, Hill, Waddle, Tua? Like, are you starting Gesicki or like Durham, Smythe? Like, probably not, right?
No. Well, I know Mike McDaniel said he needs to get the ball to Mike Gesicki more. And I don't we love coach speak around this time, but I am not falling for that trap, and I am not starting Mike Gesicki. So no, it's the usual suspects here.
Broncos-Rams, the next one up on Sunday. And again, I think Latavius Murray, he was great, right? He had 24 carries, 130 yards, and a score against Arizona. Against the Rams, I don't believe we're going to see Aaron Donald, so maybe you can feel okay about starting Murray as an RB3. He clearly is, like, the guy. Like, it's his backfield. He's not sharing with anyone, which I think was a concern after Javonte Williams went down and, like, all these other guys were being, Boone and so on, were being worked in there. But right now, it is Latavius Murray's backfield. Apart from him, though, even Jerry Jeudy and Greg Dulcich, they're guys you can start, but they're guys who have, like, Judy is like a WR3 to me with WR2 upside just because of the chaos of that Broncos passing offense. And the same goes for Dulcich. Like, he's talented enough to be a TE1. It's just the situation will probably not make it so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with this Broncos offense. Just I do like Latavius Murray, and I do like Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy has been wide receiver 7 over the last 3 weeks. The Rams have been pretty good against tight ends. So, I mean, listen, we thought Greg Dulcich against the Cardinals was going to be a great matchup, which it should have been, and it wasn't. It was horrible. I think Eric Tomlinson ended up having more catches and a touchdown over Greg Dulcich. So I'm not starting him in this one. The Russell Wilson thing right now, like, I actually do like this matchup for him, believe it or not. So I have him as like a higher, I can't believe I'm going to say this, higher end QB2.
All right.
With the chance to be a complete dud. So I don't think anybody's going to risk the biscuit for him, but I mean, if you're in a pinch, I mean, I probably start him over. Oh boy.
Brock Purdy.
No, I don't think I would start him over Brock Purdy. Like, I would consider starting him over
Jared Goff.
Maybe Daniel Jones.
Okay, all right.
I would that would probably be one that would be in that category there. So that's where I would lean with Russell Wilson.
On the Rams side of things, I'm going to make it simple. I'm not starting anyone from the Rams.
That's a good answer, Show, because that's exactly what I had.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think we need to spend too much time. No one, let's not discuss like Tutu Atwell or like at this point Cam Akers. No. I'm out. We're not going to waste too much time on that. Bucks at Cardinals. I think you can start Tom Brady. I think he's like right on the cusp of being a QB1. I know it's crazy to say that because he's had a miserable year fantasy-wise, but the Cardinals do have a pretty good pressure defense, and he did struggle, Brady, with pressure, I mean, over the course of his career, certainly, but certainly last week as well. We'll see if that changes at all versus the Bengals and now versus the Cardinals, but still I have him as like the highest end QB2 just because the Cards pass defense is not great. So which means I am starting Chris Godwin. Mike Evans, obviously it's hard to bench Mike Evans, but still I got him as a middle WR2, maybe even a low end WR2 because he hasn't been producing all that much. And Rashad White, Leonard Fournette, both RB2s because unfortunately neither one of them have really taken the reins here.
Yeah, it's been thought last week was going to be the Rashad White week, and clearly it wasn't. I think they're both flex plays just because of the lack of trust that I have in both of them. Like, for example, I would start Latavius Murray over both of them.
Right, right. So would I think. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where we're at right now. But I have Evans as like a wide receiver 3 flex play just because he does feel a little bit boom or bust, whereas Godwin is a lot more reliable because he's going to catch 6 or 7 balls almost every week because of the usage and because the offensive line for the Bucks just hasn't been able to hold a pocket for long enough for Mike Evans to get open downfield. So that's been a bit of an issue.
Well, and the thing with Evans too is every time he makes a great play, the receiver, the cornerbacks just wrap him up for a giant pass interference call. And he, like, there's probably like one play every week where he could probably have caught like a 60-yard touchdown, and he had the ball basically go off his hands, and he was tackled by the corner before the ball gets there, and he still almost hauls it in. Unfortunately, we do not get fantasy points for having done so. So yeah, for that same reason, I have him lower ranked, unfortunately, as talented as Mike Evans is. On the card side of things, we kind of talked about this already when we did this, the start sits and the text line questions, but with Trace McSorley, James Conner and DeAndre Hopkins are probably the only guys you can reliably start, I would think.
Yeah, Marquise Brown is more of a boomer bust flex play. Listen, there is a chance that Marquise Brown could catch, you know, 3 balls for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's very possible. I just don't think it's likely. The Tampa Bay defense hasn't been like they've had their stretches where they haven't been that good, but their secondary is decent. Their defensive line is still very good. So I don't envision that Trace McSorley is going to have a ton of time to throw the ball. The Cardinals offensive line is mediocre at best. So I don't trust Hollywood Brown in such a significant matchup this week.
Yeah, neither do I. Like, again, I would love to start him, but it's just given that is your third string quarterback, we talk about this all the time with QB changes. You just can't risk it in such high pressure situations. Again, like, there will be things you take risks on in the fantasy playoffs, 1,000,000%, because unfortunately you will have to. I'm just not sure receivers that are usually, I mean, again, not boom or bust, but essentially receivers that are not matchup proof like DeAndre Hopkins and other guys are, I'm not sure if you want to be starting them in your semifinal matchup. So again, maybe if I don't know, if Colt McCoy comes back next week, maybe it looks a little bit better, but even then it's a little bit iffy when it comes to the usage of the non-top targets, let's call them, for the Cards and other teams. Chargers at Colts is our last matchup. That's the Monday nighter, so you have some time to make the decisions whether or not, let's say, you want to start Zach Moss or Deion Jackson. With the Colts, we did kind of discuss this already, so we might as well wrap up on the Colts. I think we both kind of fall on the side of Deion over Moss, just because we have seen a lot of Zach Moss just in his career going back to the Buffalo Bills. And Deion Jackson, we've also seen a little bit of him, and he is used in the passing game. So regardless if they do rotate between the two backs, I'm thinking Deion Jackson is the guy you're probably starting, especially if it is a half or even a full PPR league. So I'm in that same boat with a lot of you guys. I'm starting Deion Jackson myself in a couple of my playoff leagues because I did lose Jonathan Taylor myself. Also, Nick Foles does like to throw the ball to running backs a lot, so I got to imagine that's going to be a part of it today regardless. From pass catching side, I just cannot in good conscience as well recommend for people to start any of them with any degree of consistency, let's say. So Michael Pittman is like a WR3, and I'm benching Paris Campbell, Alec Pierce, whichever tight end suits up. Like, I just, you can't take that huge of a risk and on Monday night, no less, in your fantasy semifinals.
Yeah, no, it's Michael Pittman and no one else. I just, and honestly, I'm not even overly comfortable with Michael Pittman as good as he is. Like, I've got him wide receiver 3, like, or a really good flex play, but, and there's upside there, don't get me wrong, but my goodness, like, it could be a complete tire fire for Nick Foles. That's what my concern is.
Yeah, it's not like it could go very well. It could also go extremely poorly. So I Nick Foles is not one of the, like, Gardner Minshew, Brock Purdy level quarterbacks I'd feel better rolling with this week. So yeah, just FYI, I think if you're wondering about it, no, go with Minshew or Purdy if you are wondering about QB backups, QB streamers this week. On the Chargers side of things, we'll wrap up here on the Chargers. Again, like, you don't need us to tell you to start Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, or Mike Williams. I think the really only big question when it comes to the Chargers offense is Austin Eckler okay? It certainly looks like he is. His tests on his shoulder came back negative on this past Monday, which means that with the extra day, I think he is good to go this coming Monday anyways. He has scored 11 or more PPR points in every single game this week, this season. So I think you're obviously starting him. Joshua Palmer, Gerald Everett are the real question marks. I think they're both flex plays, I guess. Gerald Everett probably is like a TE1 out of necessity, but probably not a very high one for me.
Yeah, I don't have him very high. Like, if I had to choose between him or Darren Waller, I'm going with Darren Waller. The Josh Palmer thing is interesting because when we look, like, the Colts gave up points last week. There's no question. And it was a weird game because Minnesota threw the ball a lot, but they had 3 fantasy relevant wide receivers last week. So I think Josh Palmer kind of slots in there as a little bit more of a risky flex play, but someone that you can certainly take a chance on because of the quarterback throwing in the ball. But other than that, I wouldn't be starting Gerald Everett in this one if I didn't have to.
Yeah, same goes for me. But that kind of wraps up not only on Chargers Colts, but certainly on all of our week 16 matchups, which means that does it for the fantasy show, not only for today, but for 2022. As the next time we speak, it will be the new year. We will be the first live piece of programming to kick off 2023. So Matt, best of luck in the fantasy semifinals, and to you, your wife, your little one, from my family to yours, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and same to you, show. And looking forward to whatever storylines we have next week, because there's some really good matchups next week as I'm looking at the fantasy schedule. So should be a lot of fun. Obviously, if you have any fantasy questions, you can tweet us SNS Alley and at MattyMar89 if you have any fantasy questions for us. And a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year to all of our listeners. You guys have been great this season, and the text questions are always great. We enjoy it. Thank you all very, very much.
I just want to say on behalf of Matt, Austin, myself, everyone at Sportsnet, we wish you a very Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Happy holidays. Stay safe out there, no matter where you are, no matter what weather you are experiencing. Stay safe, please. I sincerely hope Santa brings you a trip to the Fantasy Football Championship as your present this year. As our pal George Rusick, who is up next with Inside the Lines, as our pal George Rusick loves to say, we'll talk to you next year. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, and a Happy New Year.